Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that bhakti yoga is practical. Also, Srila Prabhupada is a genius who has always been able to give very precise terms. For example, bhakti, not many people translated the way Srila Prabhupada translated, because some people translate bhakti as literally bhakti means like participation. Bhak means part. So it's participation with Krishna. So usually it's translated as love. And sometimes devotion. But Srila Prabhupada translates this as devotional service. So it's not passive, because I can sit somewhere closed in my room and be very devotional. Or I can run around with a shovel serving. But neither this nor that fits what Prabhupada gives. So Prabhupada excludes both mindless running around and passive pretense. So devotional service. So action service, but not external. So devotional means heart is involved. That's his beautiful translation. So chapter 6 is called How to Discharge Devotional Service. The previous chapter was called, in fact, somewhat enigmatically, or even we can say misleadingly, the Purity of Devotional Service. So do you remember what was the conclusion of that previous chapter? The Purity of Devotional Service? What's pure about devotion? Why is it called pure? Because why? Yes, that's it, Shlovik. Yes, I think you were not there, right, last time? Yes, so that's why I say this is misleading. Because, yes, pure devotional service, we discussed pure devotional service, but in that chapter, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada discussed that it's open. It's open to everybody. So, pardon?
That's right.
Yeah, it's pure in the sense that it's so beyond the body, that it does not depend on the body type, the body birth, the body whatever, color, caste, and so forth.
Why is then the definition of a pure devotee so much far away from this definition of a pure devotee?
You have a mind for finding controversy. I said it's a misleading title or enigmatic title, and we discuss the definition of pure devotional service at length, and I think in the overview we had this, and I also put that PowerPoint presentation on pure devotional service. So that's, of course, also that's Prabhupada's main emphasis, that we serve it's pure because it's for Krishna, and because we put full trust in bhakti without mixing it with anything else. So that's the definition of pure devotional service as the process. However, in this particular chapter, that's how this word is used. That's not very often. That's why I made a play for this. We discussed some cases when it's so pure that it goes even beyond humans. Cows and I think crows and yes, it's amazing how
the dog can take part.
Yes, my friend personally saw, not saw, there was a dog who participated in the parikrama in Navadvip, and he looked very devotional, So he told him, say go. And the dog said go. Yes, well, not go, but go. Anyway, even I have doubts, but he's very, I mean, I trust him. he's a serious person. So it's probably, it's possible, yes. So now, chapter 6 begins the very practical discussion of how to discharge. So we have 64 items given, and it begins by stating, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī states that his elder brother, Sanatana Gosvāmī, has compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas, a very scary book. How many volumes? I think we have 4 volumes. We have, I think Sandipani Muni, our Sandipani Muni, has read the whole thing. And our minister of deity worship secretly told me that he's worried about people reading too much of this book because they will have too many questions. Yes. Why? Because you can see it says here that in that book Sanatana Gosvāmī has mentioned many rules and regulations to be followed by the Vaishnavas. In Sanskrit it says lakhs. Lakhs. Lakh is 100,000. So hundreds of thousands of rules are there. Not all of them clear. Why? Even here we have some rules that already we don't understand why. It's already not clear. Of course, we know we will have this statement, very clear statement, that the essence of all the rules and regulations is
always
remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Yes, all the positive always think, all the negative are put in the never forget. So some of them are very important and prominent, and Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī will now mention these very important items for our benefit. The purport of this statement is that Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī proposes to mention only basic principles, not details. So this is one first important point here. Thank you very much for opening the green page here. So this is the first very important concept that Śrīla Prabhupāda introduces, and it is, by the way, the measurement of our maturity in bhakti, also in life in general. Like they even have a term, an adolescent maximalism, yeah, that a young person tends to take every rule or principle as an absolute principle, right? And that's why they say they rebel. They say these seniors, they are cheaters. Elders are cheaters because they say one thing and then they don't follow, right? So I heard a joke today. What was the joke?
This must be part of a joke.
The joke was that the sound, the speed of sound is very slow because sometimes it takes 30 years for an advice to reach the the person. Anyway, yes, so this is very important. So there are principles. A principle, this is something very important, and there is a detail which is how you apply the principle. In other words, we have to see that the rules will be more and less important. So the growth, maturation, and experience or wisdom, we can say, is being able to evaluate the degree of priority between different rules. And they can be nested. I don't know how you translate this. It means like they can be like in a Chinese doll, you know, one inside the other. In other words, there can be, like we mentioned, the main rule, always remember Krishna. So this is the overarching supreme principle. That's the main rule. Then within that rule, okay, we have, like Srila Prabhupada gives the example here. In this first paragraph, for example, a basic principle is that one has to accept a spiritual master. Exactly how one follows the instructions of his spiritual master is considered a detail. For example, if one is following the instruction of his spiritual master and that instruction is different from the instructions of another spiritual master, that is called detailed information. Like we see in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we will have slight differences in how we sing some parts of the aratis, in our premadvani. There will be some differences, but that's not so. I mean, some neophytes will try to blow it up as, oh, it's all very, very, like I remember one devotee was, don't you dare to sing Tulsi Maharani. Jai Tulsi Maharani, Jai Tulsi Maharani. This is Aishwarya mood, this is not Vrindavan mood. This is very, very wrong. Because Maharani, queen, Tulsi Devi. So he was trying to blow it up into...
And also who's here, like, don't sing for the when you're singing Prabhupada prayers, are then in the end, like, Bhakta Prahlad, he's not Bhakta Prahlad, he's Bhakta, but he's Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah. I still have a problem with somebody, you know, because that was in my early days, and that devotee was so adamant that I still, when somebody sings Tulsi Maharani, inside me something cringes. But I said, it's a detail, okay? In Vrindavan, she is the queen, and it's also sweet, you know. It's not that she is, you know, with a throne and whatever. In fact, we have once a year in Vrindavan on Balaram Purnima, Vishesh Darshan, special darshan in all the main temples, and in Radha Gokulananda, Krishna is the minister of police to Queen Radharani. They have Radharani on the throne and Krishna standing with the sword doing seva. He found, because all the other posts were taken, so he was given this one. What is this? Yeah, anyway, so.
I remember the Jim Carrey has this Krishna cup.
Krishna?
Cup. Like a police officer, yes.
Krishna?
Krishna cup. It's... You can check on YouTube.
Really?
Krishna
Kaur,
yes.
I didn't know he says anything about Krishna.
Jim Carrey.
He's connected with...
he plays, it's kind of a funny sketch.
Krishna. Urushu, you had something?
Yeah, but Krishna
Okay, so, but the basic principle of acceptance as spiritual master is good everywhere, although the details may be different. Srila Rupa Goswami does not wish to enter into details here, but wants to place before us only the principles. So that's why we have 64 principles mentioned. Can you give some examples? So in our practice, what would be a principle and what would be a detail. So cleanliness is a principle and detail.
Would be like showering 3 times per day.
Yes, 3 times a day, or 2 times a day, or 1 time a day. Yes, or if somebody is traveling, mm-hmm. Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, okay, you just chant mantra. Unless you are able to do this airplane bathroom acrobatics or yoga.
To what degree is traveling
an
excuse? One devotee told me recently, I travel a lot, and when I travel, I sometimes don't have the opportunity to eat prasadas. I'm so happy to eat prasadam here at your temple. It's wonderful.
Prabhupada mentions this. In his, just read Prabhupada's books. If you read Prabhupada's books, this is one quote from Srila Prabhupada's books that my mother knows by heart. She read Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, and she says, in your book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, your Srila Prabhupada writes that when we travel, sometimes we eat at the hotels. So you are now traveling. Why don't you... She never fails. Every time I come, she quotes this. Never fails to quote this one. Hare Krishna. I'm saying here this. Okay, good. Harinam Sankirtan is another principle. And what would be a detail?
Which names,
yes, okay. Or like, for example, in the early days, like Narayani Madhuri says, when she joined, they had Sankirtan 12 hours every day. 12 hours every day. I'm sure it would make everybody ecstatic. But...
cook for Krishna, prasada, what we cook.
Yes, yes, yeah, okay, yeah, exactly, the, yes. Another one, you can see how, what was one detail Srila Prabhupada adjusted for our society? That first he sought to give, yes, 16 rounds, yes? He, before initiation, he, first of all, at all, the fact that he had devotees give vows is not actually, you don't see it so specific in other sampradayas and other groups, because it's taken just as a normal human behavior, you know, that you don't eat meat. It's like, you know, you don't even talk about it. It's not even worth mentioning. But Srila Prabhupada knew, you know, that if he doesn't make it clear, we will find all kinds of excuses. We still find excuses, you know, even after he made clear everything. So therefore, he made it into our vows, or he calls them regulative principles, although in fact they are sort of details of pure behavior. And he wanted... Hare Krishna, Petra. And he... in the beginning wanted us to chant 64 rounds, and you remember that Mukunda Goswami saying that they tried before to chant, and you may remember your first rounds. You remember your first round?
Yes.
How long did your first... 20 minutes, yeah? Okay. Yeah. My first round was at my friend's home. His little sister had a Christian rosary with 54. They have 54. So I thought, okay, it's just doubled forwards and backwards. You have 108. So it took me about 10 minutes. So he told Mukunda that, okay, 64 rounds. And Mukunda, he didn't even know what to say. He was just, you know, like 64 rounds. It's like, you know, it's like a whole day or something. I remember in my early months in Krishna consciousness, I felt before I made more offenses, I felt so much taste for japa that I couldn't stop at 16. At 16, all the fun was just starting. And so, you know, my temple president, he warned me, don't take any vows, you know, because later it'll be difficult to keep. So if you want to increase, you know, just careful, just a little. So I took first 19, then 20, just a little. And I remember then, but I had service translating, book distribution and translating, and then I decided tomorrow is Ekadashi, I'll stay at the temple, and we had some orchards nearby, and I will go and chant 64 rounds. And 20 rounds were okay, very good. 34 are also right, but I remember, you know, by 40 something, the sweet name turned into Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I didn't have enough proper attitude to actually experience the taste. My first attempt at 64 rounds was quite tough. So Mukunda Maharaj, he was just completely flabbergasted. Was and so then Prabhupada looked at him, and then he said 32, and he still was coming in his. So then Prabhupada said, okay, 16, but no less, minimum 16, and service. So you can see Srila Prabhupada has adjusted. He put. But it, as Niranjan Swami always at the initiation, he always corrects when somebody says 16 rounds. I at the initiation, I promise to chant 16 rounds. He says, no, minimum 16 rounds. Not 16, but minimum 16 rounds. And of course, as years go by, we are supposed to develop more and more taste, and it's very natural that you will want to chant more and more. And 64 rounds will not be something difficult for you. And I know quite a few devotees who love to chant 64 rounds, and usually they do more service than others. It's not an excuse for not doing service. So, principle and detail. So this is a very important concept, and we are advancing by distinguishing what is more important and what is less important. And which there can be principles which are details to other principles, so to say. So here we have a list of Bhakti Angas, 64 elements of devotional service. Very famous.
Thank you.
We'll give you this after, okay? Now, not all of these elements are the same, obviously. So they can be divided into different groups. First of all, you can see the first 20 are like in yoga. They are do's and don'ts. Of course, in yoga you have yama and niyama. They are don'ts and do's. Yamas are don'ts and niyamas are do's. positive and negative. Negative and positive. Here we have the opposite. We have first the positive, and bhakti in general is a positive path, primarily. It's the essence, it's positive. So first 10, positive, next 10, negative. And so this is one way to divide these 64 practices. And again, this is Srila Rupa Goswami's genius, how he just gives us a list of very clear, specific principles and actions that we can engage ourselves to achieve Krishna. So if you remember the name of this second wave of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so there are four waves. So the name, the first is Samanya Bhakti, general description of Bhakti. So that's where we discussed what's Bhakti, what's pure Bhakti. And this is Sadhana Bhakti. And the last two are Bhava and Prema. They are smaller. This is the biggest part, Sadhana, practice. Bhava is ecstasy and Prema is perfect perfection of love. So, sadhana, if you remember, is defined. Anybody remembers what's the definition of sadhana? At least in general, what's the sadhana?
Huh?
Getting up early. Yeah, that's a thank you. That's a concept, a common misconception. We think it's almost like a oppression concept, you know, that be on schedule, you know, get up early and attend program very rigidly. Sometimes we think this is sadhana, but in fact, the word sadhana. The most beautiful translation I have seen is Dr. Edwin Bryant in his Yoga Sutra wonderful book. He translates sadhana as a quest, which I think is a very nice, just, you know, it has adventure, it has heroism, it has magic, it has work, it has everything, right?
So sadhaka is somebody on a quest.
Yes, is a person, like a knight on a quest.
Employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service.
Here's a proper student with notes and everything. Yes, thank you. Alright, so employing our mind and senses. And again, can you please say it again?
Devotional service. Employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service.
One more thing is very important there, because sadhana or quest cannot be a quest or sadhana unless there is a sadhya or the goal. You know, like it's a quest for the Holy Grail, right? There has to be the goal. It has to be a goal.
If Prabhupada already defines devotional service as something practical, why is here then stated again practical devotion?
This is a detail. This is not a principle word. The principle is the principle here is engaging the mind and senses. So one key point is the mind, which is oftentimes omitted, and that's why this is one thing. If there is one thing why we go slow in our devotional or spiritual life, it's because we do not employ the mind. We think that it's enough to just do with the senses, you know. It's enough if I just do something with the senses and that's it. But the mind has to be there. And the other thing is, which is very important, the definition, sadhya bhava. So sadhana is something aimed at sadhya, at the goal. Sadhya. So therefore, sadhana must always be aimed at the goal.
What does it actually mean then for the mind? Without the mind we couldn't do thinking, feeling, we couldn't move our hands, we couldn't do anything.
Oh yeah? How about chanting your japa in the morning? or chanting kirtan, are you focused on Krishna all the time? I can give classes and think about, I don't know, swimming in the Adria Sea near Pula or something. Or remember, you know, I can. Yeah. Actually, there are three areas: senses, that's the body, right? Then the mind, that's attention, right? But there is also a more subtle, this is where the goal comes, this is your intent. I can be thinking, but it has to be favorable. You know, why? Why am I doing this? So that's also called sincerity. You know, sincerity means that what I do, you know, walk your talk, right? What I say, I also do, but not only I do, I also want to do this. Right? Because I can, you know, like in this joke, this mother, I'm not going to go to school today. I don't see any reason why should I go to school. You know, I hate them, they hate me. You know, I don't see a single reason why should I go. The mother says, I'll give you two reasons. One reason is you are 45 years old. Second reason, you are the principal of the school. So sometimes people do things without much wanting to do them, right? And that's also what creates, again, what creates dissatisfaction in the person and in the school, right? Because that's why children say they are cheaters, because they do this, but they don't want to do this. So three areas. Actually, these are the three bodies we have: stula sharira, gross body; ringa sharira, the subtle body; and karana sharira. This is what we call heart, or you know, the intent, the intention area. So therefore, sadhana is aiming. Sadhana aims at the goal. And in this definition, what is the goal? The goal is ecstatic love for the Lord. Now, some artist would make a beautiful picture of Krishna there. I'll just write Radha Krishna. Okay. So this is the goal. So in other words, again, so that's what makes sadhana sadhana. So like this is what immediately can transform any activity we are doing into much more powerful version, because just any touch with just passing by the temple, you know, that already gives us bhakti sukriti. That already gives us unlimited good fortune for getting mercy. However, if we do not set the goal of loving relationship with Radha Krishna, it will not be bhakti yoga. It will not be bhakti yoga. It will not be sadhana. It will be just good fortune, which can be exchanged for small things in this world. So therefore, it's very important to aim, remember that all of these, and therefore this is how the rest of the chapters will be constructed. They will give short examples how each of these 64 elements, mostly, can produce bhava, can produce ecstasy, can produce love. Sometimes even just by one touch with any of these. That's how the rest will be. There will be some shastric scriptural proof of that. But it begins with 20 elements, which are not, in fact, so direct. Like, for example, being equal in gain and loss, being equipoised. Because there will be a quote that if your heart is overtaken by lamentation, then it's difficult to remember, meditate on Krishna. Or worshipping Tulsi and being respectful to Brahmanas. And so in itself, it's not bhakti. Or no, so these first 20 elements, or even Rupa Goswami says, and Prabhupada says, the first three are the main, most essential or important. Accept Guru, take initiation, and learn from Guru, right? He says this is the most important. So you will see I have put exclamation mark on the first three. I put two on the last five, two exclamation marks, because they are even more important. But these first three are also common for other schools of yoga. Other yogis, they also take guru. And even non-devotees, even non-yogis, they also accept gurus. They also have some initiations, some type of initiation.
Somebody was telling me that Buddhists, they don't care that much about gurus. You can have one, but you have this principle of taking for yourself.
Which of the 3,000 schools exactly do you have in mind? Because in Vajrayana, guru is super important. For example, I'm joking. Hinayana also super important. Mahayana, I mean, it's... Anyway, the point is that jnanis, yogis, they also accept guru. So, therefore, in itself, these 20 elements, even though the first three are... It's natural, you know. Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. One who is devotee of my devotee is my real devotee. That's a proof, right? Krishna himself is a devotee of a devotee. Right? Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. So, therefore, these... first 20 are called the doors to bhakti. Okay, now I need to paint a door. Okay, so that's not a window, that's a door. These first 20 are the doors to bhakti. They basically just keep the path open. So 10 positive, 10 negative. And these are the door to the practice. And Srila Prabhupada says that these 10 items, this is on the second page, are preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service and regulative principles. In the beginning, if a neophyte devotee observes the above mentioned 10 principles, surely he will quickly make good advancement in Krishna consciousness. So... You can read them from this paper. Maybe you can just go through the room and you can read them one by one. Can you please read the first one? Just the English.
Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him.
Yes, okay, so these three Prabhupada says are out of the 20, the first three are the most important, he says. Yeah? Okay, four.
following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master.
Yes, thank you. Five.
Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness.
So asking questions is in itself devotional service. Isn't that a good news?
Yes.
Six.
Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of God and Sri Krishna. This means that when we are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up, and also we have to accept something which we may not like to accept.
Yes, thank you. So, this any jnani will appreciate. Anyone who is into yoga, they will, renouncing something, accepting something, that's yoga, yeah. But in itself, it's not necessarily, doesn't speak about love of God, right? But it helps, Prabhupada says you can advance quickly. And Petra, can you read seven, please?
Residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage, like Varaka or Vrindavan.
Vrindavan.
Puri or Ganga?
Yes.
Ganga,
yes. Ganga is also there, but we don't a lot, but we don't do Ganga. You look extremely similar to my cousin sister. You too. She's a singer in a. You're the singer, but she looks. Can you please read
accepting only what is necessary, or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary.
Yavat artha anuvartita. Okay, so this has both, accepting, but not more. So yavat artha. This is that one mystic power. Sorry, yama aparigraha, not accepting unnecessary, which reveals, if you are perfect in it, it reveals you your past and future lives. It gives you knowledge of past and future lives according to Yoga Sutra, amazingly enough. So it means not over-collecting, but you will read that for a devotee it means also not to neglect, not be neglectful in keeping whatever is necessary. For the healthy life. Okay, fine, please.
Observing the fasting day on Ekadashi.
Yes, so fasting. So, Hari Vasara Sammano, fasting, and Prabhupada always speaks about Ekadashi. So, as our austerity, every 2 weeks we do not eat bread. I guess for Germans by extension that used to be Austria and Germanic spirit of bread, after walking in the mountains, you definitely want to have a good piece of bread. But that's only once in 2 weeks, so. And you can have non-grain things. Number 10.
Worshipping sacred trees like the famous Nimai tree in Mayapur.
Yes, okay. Banyan tree and Amalaki is included there. So banyan, Amalaki. Do you know why banyan is called banyan? In fact, banya in Hindi and Sanskrit means merchant. The Sanskrit merchant. So banyan is huge and it gives shelter. So the name itself is Vat or Ashwata. So when they were traveling, because it is very huge, and also it's one of the rare trees that in the night does not suck in oxygen and does not exude carbon dioxide or whatever it's called, oxide, dioxide, I don't know. So therefore it's safe for being in it.
in the night. So therefore it was favorite place for camping, for the banyas, for the merchants. So in other words, it gives shelter. It's a good shelter, it gives service. It gives service to people, to humanity. So I guess here, you know, basically whatever is helpful, good, useful, beneficial, then we respect that. Right? I don't know, oaks here, would they count? What do we have here? I'm sure the figs. Actually, figs are relatives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, banyan is ficus religiosa. And fig is, what is it called?
Ficus carica.
Ficus? Carica. Yeah, okay. So?
This is also...
she knows Latin. She knows Latin. She's a historian. They learn...
This banyan tree also the tree under it which Siddhartha Gautama achieved.
Both the Gaya. Yeah, there is...
I think when I was looking on Wikipedia, it stated ficus religiosa.
Yeah? It's near Varanasi, right? There is Bodh Gaya, that's in Gaya, that's where he was preaching, right? But enlightenment, I think it was in near Varanasi, right? I think that's... I think, yes, it was. But the tree itself, I don't... We were there, but I don't remember any. I think it's already gone. Right? No. They are very interesting. They expand a branch and then it goes down and then it becomes a new trunk and they can grow into sometimes kilometers, actually. And you can have many, many trunks. It's a sturdy, nice tree. Alright, so these are 10 positive, which Prabhupada says can help that if we if a neophyte devotee observes the above mentioned 10 principles, surely he will quickly make good advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now the next set of instructions is listed as follows. One should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. And by the way, some weeks ago I posted explanation of this on the Facebook from Jaiva Dharma. That it means doesn't mean that you do not help or care for non-devotees. It means that you do not share their spiritual views. Two, one should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. One should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples or monasteries. One should not try to read too many books, nor should one develop the idea of earning his livelihood by lecturing on or professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada saw this in India a lot. And in this also has, it's not clearly mentioned here, but in Sanskrit you can see 12, 13, 14, it says Shishya Anubandhitvadi Trayam. So this is number 12, not instruct. Basically it says not accept too many disciples. And when Srila Prabhupada gives these 20 principles in his book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, he says that just by properly following the first 11 principles, you will be advanced enough to start initiating disciples. But you should be careful not to initiate too many too early. That's what Srila Prabhupada writes there in his. So, if somebody coming back to the controversial questions, Devarata Prabhu, then if Prabhupada did not plan to have parampara continuing, why would he write, you know, don't initiate too many? Right? As far as I think. Okay, now 15. One should be straightforward and not neglectful in ordinary dealings. There is an interesting translation by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where akarpanya, he translates one should not be stingy, miserly. It's quite interesting. And then 16, again, will be very favored by yogis amongst you. Shokal Dyavasha Vartita. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain.
What is jubilation?
That's the problem, you know. I always try to get the Slovenian translation. I checked, it has only one radost in vriskajoč. Means.
It's radost, not vriskajoč.
In Croatian, I will translate oduševljenje.
Oduševljenje is like inspiration or enthusiasm, but jubilant is like, wow, yes!
Jubilation.
Google Translate doesn't have it. Yes. Now, Dushan. This is what I said. We should go to the language academy and complain that we, in our society we need one word which is missing in the language. In our society we have one thing that we very often is needed or is part of our life, and we don't have the word in the language. We have to introduce something like ecstasy. So, in other words, when something happiness, basically happiness. So, when something happy happens, we do not become carried away, and then one should not disrespect Anya Deva, other deities. Prabhupada says demigods, but it means also other religions, other holy books, and these things. In some places, he specifically mentions the Bible, and says because for every nature, Krishna has given some religion so that they gradually can develop, and we should not criticize them for that. But he speaks about this in 4:22-23, I think, in the commentary, very nice commentary. 18, one should not, and again, this is very important, ahimsa, one should not give unnecessary trouble to any living entity. Then 19 will be expanded into a whole chapter for us. It's all the offenses. There are offenses that block our chanting, offenses that block our deity worship. So it's good if we know to avoid, so we can chant purely. And 20 is interesting. It's sort of a double negative. It's if somebody is offensive of us, then it's okay. But if it's an offense against devotees or Krishna, then we do not tolerate that. We do not. Blasphemy.
Как я с тем в часах собиде при цей гробе при цей гробу се зража Кришна сам на москочек. Пач при цей жалива, пак се потем се сам не мало здравим, пак поли не здравим, пак сам ша николи не сум скочил при пасубля куда жалит.
So, once there was a Harinam, and some person attacked devotees. And I think he attacked some Mataji or some lady or something, and there was one devotee who was somewhat, you know, Kshatriya spirit. So they thought, should we tolerate, should we do? And then he decided not to be tolerated, and he just punched him in the nose. And just punched him, knocked him out. And then he was not sure, did he do the right thing or not the right thing? And then the devotees who went that central street next day, distributing books or something, then somebody said, you know, I saw you guys yesterday, and I saw there was one guy who was so nasty, he was trying to provoke you, he was trying to insult you, and you were so tolerant. You were absolutely tolerant. Apparently, you know, nobody saw this guy. Everything was perfectly covered by Krishna. So both the guy was neutralized. You know, some people are, you know, they respect only this type of argument. You know, that's, then they, oh yeah, the Hare Krishnas are good. Yes, they punched me in the nose. Yes. They're people like that, you know. Then they, oh yes, I respect. Yes, that's true. Unfortunately. So there are four types of reaction. A reaction recommended in the fourth canto that you can convince them. That's the best. And usually it's not that people are demonic. Just as you say, they're just rough, or they don't know, or they have just been misled by some propaganda, you know. So therefore, it's best if you can, you know, set their misunderstandings straight. Then the second option is you kill them. that's for the fourth canto. Then the third option is you go away, walk away. And the fourth option, if you cannot do anything out of this, you kill yourself. So certainly the Prabhupada said that this, the second and four, we don't do. This was for different times, different places. You know, like somebody was a king and there was some blasphemy, he could actually punish Kshatriya, right? So you can see this, that is Brahmana, he can convince Kshatriya, he can punish. Vaishya, he just walks away. Shudra, he just, you know, kills himself. But Prabhupada says, so basically we have two options. Either try to reason to them, or just walk away.
I heard one incident, also one spiritual master came to him. I mean, it was Harinam, and one man came and he was really annoying, really insulting, everything. And that spiritual master said to him, please go away. Because he was on him, you know, he was like, you. And of course he was doing the same, and he said, one more time, please go away. And he was, please just leave us, go away. And he didn't go away. And then he said, please go away because you don't know who is my father. And he was like, And at that moment, one car came and hit the guy.
Yeah, there are many stories, some amazing stories of somebody appearing and Krishna helps unexpectedly, sends some help. Manidhar, he likes to tell many stories about when unexpectedly some biker comes in, you know, and just beats to the pulp. Krishna sends.
What do you do on the internet? It's a publicly public place, so even if
So if you can present good arguments and show the you know the reasonable Siddhanta, you can do that. But some people are, especially internet, there is one interesting phenomenon, it's called backfire effect, that even people who did not have opinion, once they start arguing, they become more entrenched. The more arguments, counter-arguments you give them, the more entrenched they become in that opinion, which they didn't even have in the beginning. So that's, therefore, some things you just leave alone. Yeah, I remember when there was this, when the internet was just starting, 1993, and ISKCON was at the cutting edge. I remember I was on email in 1991, I think. I was on email when nobody knew what email is. And 93, we had flame wars. We didn't know that this exists. Because, you know, when you're in front of the screen, so such good arguments come into your mind that you try to torch the other person. And it's not conducive. So therefore, some companies, it's a company policy, they forbid any, unless it's 100% positive, they use email only to schedule phone calls or face-to-face conversations. It's a company policy. David Rock, I think that's his company. Nice guy. So, we in Vrindavan, so that came to this degree, that's when this Kundalini and Satyanarayan, you mentioned that in your, they were part of our Vrindavan community and temple, and so then, therefore, the temple management just issued a rule that in the temple room, in the temple, in the class, nobody touches the issue of where the jiva comes from. You just don't discuss it. Okay, because it came down to just argument, you know, empty arguments, meaning just arguing without. It's called, in Sanskrit, it's called vitanda, arguing just to win, not to find the truth, but just to win. Vitanda. There is one where a person actually doesn't care what the truth is. All right, and then next you can see there's a beautiful list of 64 elements. The last five are repeated twice. It's a repetition because they are super powerful. We will have them also in a separate chapter. And in this list I put two exclamation marks, because the blessing is that even a person with no knowledge or faith, simply by a slight touch of these five most potent forms of bhakti, can experience bhava in a very short time, loving ecstasy, ecstatic love for Krishna. So what are these five? Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees, living in Mathura, Vrind's holy place, yes. Then Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan, yes, Srimad Bhagavatam, deities, the deities. Again, sometimes people, just like tourists we had in Vrindavan, they become in ecstasy. They just don't, they come and don't leave, just seeing the deities. Heavens. And Namakirtan, of course, the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which we can still do for almost 2 hours in our Namayagya in the temple. Hare Krishna. So, you can see there are many points here. You can pick out of these first 20 what could enhance your practice in this week. Like, for example, I like this being equipoised. Right? Being equipoised. I also, my favorite tendency is to criticize the critics. I like to criticize people who criticize. I say this is very bad. It's very bad to criticize. So I should be very careful about this. And please remember that sadhana is always a quest for the goal. So in other words, as often as possible, set the intention that remind yourself, we are doing this to develop loving, ecstatic love for Krishna.
Why is it? I mean, if it's nobody in particular, I would understand if you had somebody in particular in mind. Say this generally, this certain type of people do this and this, and this is not good, and you criticize this kind of.
If I do this once, it's okay. But apparently, it's my pet peeve. You know, it's like my favorite. I love. You know, I become ecstatic when I criticize the critics. You know, which might indicate that maybe I also do have some tendency, because criticizing is not good. Then I criticize the criticizing. Therefore, I should be aware that maybe I have that tendency. I'm just using it in that way. Thank you very much.